String 15. Librarian. The old female walked with me across the dusty waste, and then higher, over the stony canyon ground, always 3 paces behind, saying nothing, showing no obvious emotion, but on occasion humming softly, pausing, turning to orient herself to the landscape. The mosses on the sheer cliff walls performed a simple enough task. They carried the chronicle of that great expeditionary force to Path Kithona and preserved it for the ages by carving it in stone, incising symbols and words in a language lost to forerunner history, a language cursed by association with what had happened here, long since banished from the home galaxy. The old female's bite had given me far more than I wanted to deal with, perhaps than I could live with. Her microbial agents had imprinted in my flesh a horrible ancient truth, much the way I imprinted my Gaiash and human memories into humans on Erda Tyrene, on the great wheels, on the Ark. This is not irony. It is echo, the way of the mantle. If we who are honored with life do not perceive the obvious, then we are forced to live it again, around another corner, from another angle. I could read the carvings. I could read that language far more ancient than the oldest Digon. I could feel the emotions and the memories of the forerunners brought to this world, brought here in anger and disappointment by their peers, as renegades and traitors, abandoned as a punishment. So many had already died on the great fleets, summarily executed by their commanders after refusing orders, invoking the rule of the mantle. Martyrs. And yet, none had returned home. All but these had died. Warriors and protesters, executioners and commanders, all had sacrificed themselves rather than return with the burdens of what they had done, what they knew. The greatest effort ever made by forerunners up to that time had vanished here in Path Kithona, like water soaking into sand, while those who stayed behind, in our home galaxy, wiped clean all memory of the expedition. History surrounded us everywhere. No beginning, and no obvious exit. Like the old female, I had become a chalice filled with poisonous truths, reshaping all I knew and felt about the power and beauty of being a forerunner. She finally broke her silence. "What do you see?" she asked. I could not answer. I was no longer the librarian. I had become thousands. Their spirits rose up and spoke in me, struggling to confess. The old female and I followed the canyon's slight bends and curves until we lost sight of the entrance. We walked through the night and into the next day. The morning sun rose precisely in the cleft between the two walls at this curve in the valley, and illuminated both sides equally, a dusty golden dawn accompanied by a faint breeze and the rustling of mosses climbing and carving during the day, resting during the night. The mosses, of course, were as much descendants of those forerunners as this old female, and all other life on this dry, spare world. All carried too many ancient memories. When my crew arrived and took me up, we had nearly reached the end of the great cleft. I was stunned into silence. After such knowledge, what? What could we do? What can I do? The Seekers landed. Keeper and Chant took us back to the town, and there we left the old female. Her last glance through the open hatch was one of sisterhood and pity. She smiled and lifted her hand in farewell. I now understand why humans smile. Forerunners have done all they can to banish smiles. Not all smiles are about greetings and joy. Some smile in shared pain. Audacity returned to the Orion complex in several great jumps. I thought our mission had failed. We had not found the origin of the flood. The original didact never told me what the Timeless One said when he visited the Time Lock on Charim Hakor 9,000 years before our expedition. Only the duplicate he made for me, the duplicate who lived to return, had the courage to reveal what his original had witnessed. After years of festering, these memories from another rose to his surface like wounded flesh expelling an ancient shard of shrapnel. My own shards, still embedded, still festering. The story told by the walls and in my flesh was simple enough. 10 million years ago, forerunners did indeed travel to Path Kithona. We came to finish what we had started in the home galaxy, the total destruction of the precursors. They had judged us and found us wanting. They had chosen others in our stead. We were not in line to inherit the mantle. And so we began our purge, and in Path Kithona did our very best to finish it. We were not then powerful enough to erase all evidence of the precursors, to destroy their star roads and citadels and other artifacts. And so we left at least one precursor behind, to live out dreams of vengeance and hatred, to lay down plans in cold and darkness at the heart of a lost asteroid over millions of years. That is my evidence of a great crime, of a crime against the mantle. Now that I tell you, Catalogue, will you tell Haruspis? Will this story finally become accessible in the domain? The domain is far from static. Don't records stored in the domain change because information seeks its own patterns and becomes more complete? Because future generations layer their own knowledge over the old? Yet the domain is more and more often blocked to us, confusing, reticent. Perhaps there is no more history to add. Perhaps we are the last generation of forerunners. What other testimony have you absorbed from your network? Does someone out there confirm my story with his own? Do I feel him through you? I'm tired. There is so much work left to do, and so little time.
TT. The following five strings are anomalous in that they do not reflect the testimony of individuals. They may be internal juridical reports or observations, or reports issued by forerunner commanders in the field, or reports generally distributed by the new council.